It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler with my co-host Jeff. And today we are talking the conversation of Jesus being the great teacher, instructor, or disruptor. I thought this would be a fun conversation in considering, you know, in terms of how I look at things, I guess, I view a teacher as somebody who maybe teaches a broad range of subjects to people, maybe a little bit about each thing. And then I think of an instructor as somebody who has more of a narrowed band of focus, but encompasses maybe a broad range of things within that narrow band. And then, of course, you have the disruptor in terms of somebody who comes along kind of without a script and really just burns the whole thing down, I guess. Jeff?
That's a fun place to get lost in. I think to be real clear and fast and concise, I think Jesus played all three of those roles, wore all three of those hats and more. I really am. Maybe it's just part of who I am. I'm really drawn to the disruptor part.
One of those burn it down kind of guys.
Well,
huh?
he did. And he went and challenged so many of the paradigms of his day and in an amazing way redirected them to the Old Testament in ways that people didn't perceive. For example, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they tried to have a relationship with God without him, if that makes sense.
No.
In other words, yeah, I'll keep all of these laws and regulations and not have a intimate relationship with God.
Because I follow these laws.
Yeah, I'm just going to follow the rules, and that makes me holy. And that makes me righteous, more righteous than you, because I follow more laws than you do. And so it was this back and forth of, you know, I'm better than you are.
As long as I stick to the script, I'm superior.
Right, uh-huh. Right. And so they did all these things. They did all the right things for all the wrong reasons. And so Jesus points all that out saying, your heart's not in it. What you're doing these things, but there's no change in you.
Sure.
You know, and I think that's been the huge revelation that the church has had today, well, many today anyway, is that maybe quite the opposite. We've done the flip side of that. We pursue God and want an intimate relationship, but at the same time, we don't ascribe much to the holy part.
Hmm.
So we've gone right the opposite. We want the relationship with no commitment.
So it's like the pendulum never stopped
right,
in the middle.
Right. But no, he was a huge disruptor. And the people who were the outcasts, he spent most of his time with.
And that kind of makes sense, doesn't
it? You know,
it?
I could just go on and on and on. But he was quite the disruptor. And teacher, yeah, man, he was a teacher. He was the greatest teacher. And we're still telling his parables to this day. Whether you're Christian or not, people still know the parables. There are many people who know the golden rule who aren't even Christian.
And in terms of instructor, I guess this one is kind of my favorite, is because I believe the, you know, if you think of like maybe if you're learning how to fly or you're learning how to drive per se, you have instructions to follow. In essence, he left us those in terms of, I think when you find yourself not following the instructions to sound living, you find yourself in destructive situations or possibly even with obstacles on your path.
Yeah, I like the instructor thing too, because usually an instructor has the inside scoop, you mm-hmm. know, whether it be from just years of doing it or has the hacks of the trade and knows all the inside tracks. And Jesus, who knows more than Jesus about our relationship with God the Father and of all his teachings, of our origin. He was there, for goodness sake.
Sure.
He's not just being led by the Holy Spirit to tell like the prophets or like Moses with Genesis about the creation of the world. Jesus was there. You know what I mean?
Sure.
He actually, if you read the Bible, Jesus in the Trinity is the actual creator.
Sure.
He's the one that did it all.
And I think of, you know, in terms of that we are to walk by faith, mm-hmm. My dad has his helicopter license. And when he was learning and training to fly helicopters, his instructor would take him up in the, like into the clouds where you can't see. Mm. And to properly instruct him that you always follow your gauges within the helicopter, because if you rely on your eyes,
your instincts,
they're going to deceive you.
Right.
And is that not so true in this world?
Right, absolutely.
That you follow, you know, the gauge is representing, you follow the Bible's instructions, and you're not going to find yourself easily deceived.
Well, yeah, you can never fully remove the human element.
And sure.
That's the problem, right? Is that we are used to relying upon our senses and our instincts so much so to get through life mm-hmm. that it's natural for us that when you're in a pinch or in a difficult spot, that's the most comfortable tool we're used to. And the Bible gives us direction, instruction on things that frankly aren't natural, which would be another fantastic topic in this. You know, Jesus as the disruptor, Jesus as the teacher, Jesus as the instructor, which of these of his teachings do you personally find the most challenging?
I think for me, I would have to say the teaching of Jesus was obviously very forgiving. And I think that would probably be the biggest one for me, is not always to be, you know, forgiving. It's not that, but when you feel you've been wronged by somebody and you want to seek that payback per se, to know like you didn't get one over on me. I think oftentimes you find that when you harbor that unforgiveness, you're not destroying the person you want to so-called get even with. You're destroying yourself.
Yeah, They said revenge, which is what you're talking about, is like drinking poison, hoping the other person will die.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what you're talking about, is that when we let the evils others have done to us, we dwell on those and get more and more angry about them and begin to fantasize or imagine how we can get them back.
Yep.
It poisons our soul.
Well, and you think about, I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't bring it to the other person's attention that, you know, hey, I feel I've been wronged here. But what they do about it is ultimately out of your control. And if you're the one harboring that emotion, you're destructing yourself. And when the other person probably isn't even thinking twice about it.
I think that's the hard part you just said, is that, you know, it's not wrong to be angry that somebody mistreated you. Mm-hmm. I think that's a normal response. Our problem is that inner child that wants to get them back.
Mm-hmm.
we long for justice in the end, which again, isn't a bad thing. Problem is,
we feel as though we can provide it as individuals, and that's not the case.
But we really, in down deep, we don't want justice. We want revenge. Mm-hmm. We want them to suffer.
Yep.
Like we suffer.
Yep. We want you to feel how we felt.
Right. And maybe a little bit more.
With some interest.
With some interest.
And, I need some collateral.
And that was the whole part about the hard part with the law, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, is if we still live by that, there'd be a lot of blind people, you know?
That's true.
Because we'd always be stabbing each other's eyeballs out,
you
know?
That's true. I'd say it's a little easier to live with something you were born with to adapt to than it would be to gather that out of the midlife when someone stabbed your eye out.
I've sat and thought long about this. You know, you do realize we're still under eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. The difference is you're not to be the one to implement it. That's why we have the court system, and that's what we call it, restitution. All of that's still in play. But you're having your peers and a judge who are not emotionally attached to a situation be able mm-hmm. to play into a scenario and make sure justice occurs, not revenge.
And not to mention, I mean, even how does God say about leave room for his wrath to take place, in terms of people always get what they ultimately deserve, in terms of, like, if it's to the good or to the bad, people are going to be corrected in the manner in which they should.
There's a saying that people say today about karma. Karma is not a biblical concept, at least the phrasing of it for, I forget what religion that is, but there is scripture that talks about this principle in play. In the Old Testament, I forget the proverb, but it says, he who rolls a stone back trying to roll it on somebody, it will roll back on you.
Yep.
Right?
People always fall into their own traps.
Exactly.
Ultimately,
there's something in that there, but Romans 12 is a reference to what you're talking about. It starts in verse 14. I want to read this to you. And when I was thinking about our podcast today, and this came to me again about the difficult things Jesus taught. And for me, I'm with you. This is probably one of the most difficult things for me to live. And I've been a Christian for 27 years.
So this is your most difficult of Jesus's instructions or teachings that you struggle with.
Yeah. It's okay. Unlike other things that I have tried to live and master, this one continues to rear its head in my life.
Okay.
Okay. And that's why I want to read this to you. It is so hard. And I want our podcast listeners, and I want you as well, to listen to this, because there's people you're going to think about who have harmed you, hurt you, who have done evil to you, and you're harboring that. Again, you're justified in your anger, but the responses that you're considering are probably not right.
Uh-huh.
At least I will say for me,
Okay.
I am certain most of the things that I have considered doing would be wrong. Okay. And I heavily lean upon this passage as a guiding light for me almost daily for people who aren't. And listen, in the position I'm in, you know, we live in a day where it seems that we're breeding narcissists.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know what that is, look it up and you'll find that it used to be a disorder that was rare. It is so super common. And today we call it by a different name, entitlement. Romans 12, starting in verse 14, the Apostle Paul says this. And again, this is based on Jesus's teachings and of the Old Testament as men were led and moved by the Spirit. It says this: bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Wow.
Hmm.
Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. In this context of people who have hurt you, okay, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. We're thinking more of class and whatever else, but think of it this way. People who hit below the belt, mm-hmm. people who are dirty and their understanding and their is the word crass. They're just difficult to get along with.
And we're still expected to live in harmony amongst them or
yes.
with them. Yeah.
And don't be conceited, it says. And that's it's easy to get proud and go, you know, what's wrong with them? And implying there's nothing wrong with me, right?
Mm-hmm.
He goes on, he says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If that's not impossible, but still, what a thing to aim for. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, not them, you, live at peace with everyone. And here's your passage. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord.
And how often do we ourselves, maybe when we've been corrected by someone, but from the Holy Spirit, and we lash out in anger because we feel like we've been wronged, and we sometimes double down on that, do we then further learn an even harder lesson as a result of maybe it's not that person that's wronged me, maybe that's God who has corrected me.
Mm.
You know, similarly, like the fact you can't see your reflection in boiling water, I kind of feel the same in terms of our anger, that you can't think clearly in a state of anger.
Wow. So that's a neat thought, Tyler. You know, it's look at the person behaving badly and ask yourself, as they're so difficult to deal with, has that ever been me to somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is yes.
Speaking for me, I can certainly say yes, absolutely.
I'm laughing because, oh my gosh, that's embarrassing. I've been that person.
Mm-hmm.
And probably, here's the hardest part, maybe in ways I've not perceived even still.
Sure.
And I've been that arrogant punk who was haughty, self-righteous. The list goes on. And I was grieving the Holy Spirit who seals me for the day of redemption. And I am just as guilty as that jerk in front of me treating me terribly.
Because I've at one point been that jerk in front of me
exactly,
treating me terribly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, wow, does that not make you humbled
mm-hmm.
and have compassion for the fool in front of you mistreating you?
It's almost as if, you know, you could think in terms of sometimes we sit around and self-loathing and you think about how unfairly hated or mistreated you can be per se. And, you know, you flip the script and think, how unfairly
that.
Loved am I as well?
Yeah, you don't deserve any of this, right?
Exactly.
You actually deserve every bit of grief you get. Maybe not for the situation you're in, but for things you've done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, none of us get what we deserve. And that's God's wonder right there. And on top of that, we don't get the punishment that we do deserve. And then we get rewards that we also don't deserve.
That's true. Yeah. I guess in terms, I did just say that a little bit ago, people always get what they deserve, but you're right in terms of God's patience with us. Really, we don't get what we deserve because what we deserve is far worse than what we ever receive. But as well as on the flip side of that, we also receive far more than we ever deserve in terms of blessing.
Yeah, God is so, so good to us.
And patient.
Absolutely. And I don't care who you are, we've all wronged God. for that person right now who's hurting you, believe me, as a father, when I see my kids fight, whatever words they try and throw at each other and wound one another, they hurt me way more. Jesus says that it's his to take revenge, and he will. Dad's coming, and dad's going to fix some things, and you don't want any part of the mess they are creating. You don't want to drink any part of that poison, to drink that Kool-Aid. You want to get as far
away. Jim Jones style.
Yeah, you want to get as far away from that as possible, and you want love in your heart, not hate. So be angry, but don't sin in your anger, and don't return evil for the evil being dished out to you.
Would it be fair to say maybe try your best to always offer forgiveness, but at the same time, never forget?
I love that. And with that not forgetting, what will help you be compassionate and forgiving is think of the forgiveness you've been given, mm-hmm. right? And just give that back to others.
As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please share the word.
It's Blindly Obvious, baby.